I'm Marco Werman with The World, and this is how that standoff in Sydney, Australia finally ended. Heavily armed commandos stormed the Sydney Cafe, where a gunman held several people hostage for 16 hours. Australian police said the gunman and two hostages were killed. Several people were wounded. Earlier, the gunman had been identified as a refugee and self-styled Muslim cleric from Iran. I spoke with my BBC colleague Phil Mercer in Sydney just after the siege ended.
It's been long, fraught, and exhausting for everyone involved, and one can only imagine the anguish of those hostages. Their plight was referred to by the Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott. He was saying one could only imagine the terror that they'd been enduring. But now the siege is over. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, local time, when heavily armed police officers stormed the cafe in the centre of Sydney. Now, just to give you an idea of geographically where we are on the edge of the exclusion zone, this police cordon that was set up shortly after the siege began. About 100 metres up the road is a set of traffic lights, and just to the left, another 80 metres into a district called Martin Place, is where the cafe sits. So we're about 180, 200 metres from the scene of this extraordinary hostage siege that lasted for 16 hours.
So tell me this, what was this hostage taker using as a weapon to detain a dozen hostages in a small chocolate coffee shop?
We understand that he was armed with a firearm. We don't know what sort of weapon it was, whether it was a shotgun, a pistol, or a semi-automatic rifle, but it was enough to corral quite a few hostages into the Lynch Cafe here in Sydney. Now, Martin Place is at the centre of Sydney's legal and financial district. It was about 9:45 local time on Monday morning that this man, who's now been identified as Man Haron Monis, an Iranian refugee in his late 40s, walked into the cafe, and that's when this drama began. And we understand that the police went in after hearing a loud noise, possibly a gunshot inside the cafe, and that's what appears to have triggered this train of events that ended in such dramatic circumstances, with the police throwing stun grenades into the premises, and those gunfire could be heard through the air as well. So a very dramatic end to what has been a fraught day for so many people in this part of the world.
Well, we'll be hearing a bit more about Man Haron Monis in a moment. But, you know, we don't hear a lot about terrorism in Australia, Phil. I know there's been increasing concern in Australia about Aussies joining ISIS and possible blowback from that. But where will this hostage-taking figure into Australia's dealings with terror, do you think?
Well, I think there will be a long period of introspection here in Australia. It will Australia examine race relations, the role of asylum seekers and refugees in Australian society, the role of ethnic groups. This man apparently had claimed to be an Islamic cleric. So the role of Islam in Australia will be under the microscope as well. Interesting to note that yesterday evening, local time Monday, there was a statement from about 40 Muslim groups here in Australia that were condemning the use of an Islamic flag by the gunman. Now, this flag was black. It had white Arabic letters. It was, in many ways, an affirmation of faith. It wasn't a flag, as we understand, of a militant organization. And Islamic leaders here in Australia are aghast that a religious symbol that is not a symbol of aggression was used in such savage circumstances by this man, given that the gunman did show off this flag during this 16-hour siege. And no doubt in the coming days and weeks, Australia's relationship with its Muslim minority will again come under scrutiny.
The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney. As Phil said, the gunman in the Sydney crisis was an Iranian refugee named Man Haron Monis. Shortly after the standoff ended, a spokeswoman for Iran's foreign ministry condemned his actions. She said, "Resorting to violence in the name of Islam is not acceptable under any circumstance." I asked Rana Rahimpour with the BBC's Persian service to tell us more about the gunman's background.
Harun Munis, who's also known as Sheikh Harun among Australians, was originally called Muhammad Hassan Mantaghi Burujerdi, and he was born in Iran. He is 49 years old, and he sought asylum from Australia about 19 years ago. And back then, he said that allegedly the Iranian government was threatening him because of his liberal Islamic views. And in an interview with an Australian television station, he said that the Iranian government has banned his family to leave Iran and he hasn't seen them.
So tell me more about that life of his back in Iran. What do you know about his background there and just how much trouble he got into with authorities there before he left?
His past in Iran is quite shady. There isn't that much about him in the Farsi media. We know that he's a poet and he has written some poems about Imam Ali, which is the first Imam of Shias. And there are some videos of him reciting those poems on YouTube. But his more recent history is the one that is quite striking. He has a long history of violent convictions. So he sent letters to families of six Australian soldiers who died in Afghanistan in 2009, and they were hate letters, and he was taken to court for that. He wasn't convicted to any imprisonment, but he was asked to do 300 hours community work and 2 years of good behavior.
So these cases are all since he arrived in Australia a couple of years ago?
Yes, they're all since 2009, and he has been living in Australia for 20 years, almost 20 years. So he lived most of his adult life in Australia, and he sees himself as a freedom fighter. He has a website that has been banned by the Australian government, and in that he's talking about lack of freedom of speech in Australia.
How has this case resonated and how has it shaken Iranians in Iran, Iranians around the world? What have you heard?
At first, we were in denial. We thought there must have been a mistake. And then as it was confirmed and we digged his history, we could see that there were some very interesting moves in his past. And I think especially the Iranian asylum seekers in Australia are deeply worried now because they might have cases and they're waiting a decision from the Australian authorities. And they don't know how this will affect us. But Iranians are deeply worried about it.
And, I mean, you're Iranian too, Rana. How did you react when you heard about this?
Utter shock.
If he's from Iran, he would be Shia, right? I mean, is there any indication that he's converted and he's kind of taken this new life as a Sunni cleric?
Most of the footage we've seen of him, he's wearing a Shia cleric outfit. But in that website that has been banned by the Australian government, he says that he has used a word that is used for Shias, and he says he used to be that and now he's a true Muslim, which indicates that perhaps he has converts from Shia Islam to Sunni Islam. And it also explains many of the things that we heard during the hostage take. We heard that there was a black flag with Shahadatain, which is an Islamic flag. It's not a flag that belongs to the Islamic State or ISIS. And then we heard that he asked for the ISIS flag. Again, it's very surprising because a Shia to commit an act like this for Sunni ISIS is very unusual.
That was Rana Rahimpour with BBC Persian.